Welcome back, Question Medicine 2017. Coming up on 2018 soon, as promised again, and I'm going to say it now, there will be more up-and-coming Questioning Medicines. 2017 was not a very productive year, but today we're talking about something I think is game-time ready. I think it needs to be put out there. The evidence is out there. But it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for people to talk about. It's uncomfortable for us to do. No hospital, no location wants to be the first one that does it. Luckily, you don't have to, because Hawaii is already doing it. Do not stop thinking about what I'm going to talk about. Here we go, 2017 Question Medicine. Let's kick it off.
Santa looked a lot like Daddy. Our daddy looked a lot like him.
All right, here we go. Question Medicine 2017. I am Andrew Belt down here in sunny St. Petersburg, Florida. Tried to leave you with a little bit of a cliffhanger in there. Do not stop thinking. What I was really going to get at was do not resuscitate. Oh, yes, do not resuscitate. See, what we know about the do not resuscitate order is that all of us do it a little differently. All of us have our own little quirks or ways in which we have the conversation. And to be honest, we're all really bad at it. In fact, we're all terrible at it. And maybe it's because it makes us uncomfortable. And to kind of point out how bad we are, there was a paper back in 2011 in the Journal of General Internal Medicine where they would do audio recordings of admission encounters with the physician and the patient. And what they were looking for was this code status discussion. Now, 66% of the seriously ill patients had zero, none, nilch, nunca discussions. Doesn't get any worse than that. But if you did have a discussion, if you did have the code status discussion, the median length of the code status discussion was 1 minute. 1 minute. You can't get a lot done in 1 minute, especially when we're talking about life and death. And we literally are talking about life and death. And don't get me wrong, I'm not pointing fingers here because I am not good at this conversation either. I know I'm not good at it. I mean, a majority of the conversations go something to the fact or something like, Mr. Jones, if your heart stops beating, do you want us to do CPR and try to bring you back to life? Mr. Jones, if you stop breathing, would you like to stick a tube down your throat and put you on a machine that's going to breathe for you? There you go. In a nutshell of 7 seconds, that's about the extent of my do not resuscitate order or conversation that is being had. But is that good enough? I mean, is good enough is always the question. And I got to be honest, I don't think that it is. I don't think that that's good enough, especially when we're talking about something like the code status. And it's on us to have this conversation, but the problem is our patients have such poor expectations, such unrealistic expectations or misconceptions about what CPR does. I mean, if I do chest compressions, most of our patients don't realize that when I do chest compressions or we do chest compressions and we bring you back to life, if we can bring you back to life, I still can't reverse the cancer that you had, or I still can't, you know, fix the severe COPD. You're still going to have that. In fact, you're going to have it and you're probably going to have a worse prognosis or at least worse mentation because you've just been without probably adequate blood flow to the brain for at least a certain amount of time. Maybe not. Hopefully not. Hopefully we caught it right on time. But usually, your prognosis gets worse after CPR. There was a paper in 2006 titled How Misconceptions Among Elderly Patients Regarding Survival Outcomes of Inpatient Cardiopulmonary Resuscitation Affect Do Not Resuscitate Orders. And hey, this was a survey. They looked at those over the age of 70, 100 patients, and they just said, hey, listen, what do you think the chance of surviving inpatient CPR and leaving the hospital is? I mean, what do you think the odds are? Is it 10%, 5%, 50%, 100%, 100% chance that if we do CPR, you're going to survive and leave the hospital? Of course, those of us in medicine would say 100% is crazy. Even 50% is a wild, crazy, stupid number. But those that were over the age of 70, 81% of those surveyed thought that 50% better or chance to survive inpatient CPR and leave the hospital, be discharged from the hospital, walk out of the hospital, walkie-talkie, oh yeah. And 23% of those that they surveyed believe that the chance was greater than 90%, 90% or better, that you were going to get CPR in the hospital and you were going to leave the hospital. Almost one in every four. The misconceptions of what people believe to be true is what has to be addressed. And that's what we're all bad at doing. And I'm no different. I'm awful at it. So then in doing some of my own reflection, some of my own looking at how can I get better, how can I question my own medicine, if you will, I've started looking into what can I do, what can be done. Well, there was an article back in 2012 in the Journal of Palliative Medicine that looked at a bunch of first-year residents, and they took first-year residents, they split them into two groups. One group had a two-hour teaching session, which deliberately practice the communication skills, online modules, self-reflection, a training session, while the other group of first-year residents just went about their normal clinical rotations for that day. And then they followed up 2 months later with a standardized patient encounter, and those that had the two-hour training did significantly better than those that didn't have the two-hour training. And they displayed higher overall scores of the simulated code status discussion, and they hit on the certain topics that were being judged on. There's two problems with this. One, who has 2 hours in their day to go learn how to have a better conversation? And two, when you know you're being watched, when you know that what the interviewees or what I guess the researchers want you to do, and you've done a 2-hour course on what they want you to do, you're much more likely to perform what they want you to do. So, does that mean that's what they do in all their patients, or that's just what they do when they're being watched? We'll probably never know. So for me, this wasn't a viable option. And then, recently did a paper chase, Journal of Hospital Medicine 2017, a randomized controlled trial of CPR decision support video for patients admitted to the general medicine service. Before I get there, this looked at a video. That's what they did. This wasn't the first time a video has ever been looked at. In fact, a video has had success before. This one just also points to success using a video to have this DNR, DNI, CPR discussion. There was another article published in 2015 in the Journal of General Internal Medicine, which was a prospective randomized trial, and it looked at the impact of the video decision tool for CPR and intubation on patients' choices, knowledge, medical orders, discussion with their providers, and they looked at 150 seriously ill patients over the age of 60 with advanced illness and a prognosis of 1 year or less. Those in the study arm, meaning those that watched this 3-minute video describing CPR and intubation plus the verbal communication and how it's so important between the patient and the physician about what your needs or what your wants truly are at the end of life, had significantly better outcomes. Or I guess maybe is outcomes the right word here? I think it's outcomes. Anyways, those in the intervention, those that watched the video, were more likely to not want CPR, 63 versus 32%. Not want intubation, 72 versus 43%. And those in the intervention, those that watched the video, were more likely to have orders to withhold CPR by hospital discharge. And I think that we can all agree, and especially those of us that have seen life and death either up close or taking care of loved ones or whatever it may be, is that really when it comes to the end, we're doing very little for a majority of these patients when we're doing CPR. In fact, I would say overwhelmingly, we're probably doing more harm to them. And that's a whole other conversation for a whole other time, and cracked ribs and the pain and all that goes with it and the pain for the family. But when you put those all together, the intervention group, as far as having documented discussions with their provider, which is what we need to have. We need to have better discussions. That's what this is all focused around. We are bad at discussions. We are not good at having the discussion, and I'm no excuse. I am also not good at this. The number needed to watch for this 3-minute video was 2 to 3. The example I love to use the most is that the number needed to treat for Viagra is 2. This is a number needed to treat for essentially a life or death conversation of 2 or 3. That's pretty good. That was the first study. This next one was in 2017. I mentioned it earlier. This time, you're watching a 6-minute video. A 6-minute video on life or death. And I've watched it. It's really, really good. And if you email me or tweet me at Andrew Bilt, I can send you the link to this. Or just type into Google, MM CGME services. That'll be one of the first things that comes up then. Or MMCGME services space code status or code status patient video. Again, one of the first ones that pops up. Watch the video for yourself. You have to sign this little thing and get it for free, but you can get it for free and you can watch this video. This video and quickly this study was a single center VA hospital with patients aged 65 or older, and those in the intervention arm had to watch this 6-minute video that fully explained full code, DNR, do not resuscitate, do not intubate, intubation, defibrillation, and resuscitation. Then, after watching the video, they were to answer questions about code status, have the conversation with their doctor, and then the other arm just got the standard usual care, which again is probably just, hey, what's your code status? Do you want us to push in your chest, break some ribs and stuff? Hey, you want to stick a tube down your throat, put you on a machine, breathe for you for a little bit? You know, what do you want? Again, hopefully it's a little better than that, but probably not. Probably not. In fact, we know from earlier, 60% of the time, it doesn't even happen that often because it just doesn't happen. In the study, there were 60 patients for each arm, and for those that watched the video, only 37% picked full code compared to 71% for the standard of care arm. That's a number needed to treat of around 3, and if you look at full code DNR or DNR slash DNI, and the number needed to treat or the number needed to watch was, again, around 2 to 3. This is now the second study that has put this number needed to watch of a video around 2 to 3. These are simple 3-minute and 6-minute videos, and the 6-minute video is available for free. That's right, free. $5.50 free. It doesn't get any better than that. I think that this is game time ready. And I know it's game time ready because there's a recent NPR piece on this. If you want to search, Hawaii is already doing this. So cheers to you, Hawaii, raising a glass and pouring a cold one, because you are doing what I think we all need to do. And you're having the tough conversation. However you have to have the tough conversation, whether that be with a video help or just doing it by yourself, we need to have that conversation. But you might as well put a video out there that's already nicely been done for you. That way, if you're in the clinic and you're running behind, boom, you can have them watch a video. Their time is being occupied. If they're in the ER and they're being admitted to the hospital, boom, you can go ahead and have them watch that. So that way they don't think that they're in the ER waiting for so long. If they're in the hospital room, again, they got nothing else to do. They might as well watch a video. This is game time ready. If you're using this, or if you're seeing this, or if you'd like to use this, or if you're maybe you start using this, please reach out to me at AndrewBilt on Twitter, AndrewBilt@gmail.com. Email me. Let me know. I would love to know. I would love to know if anyone is doing this and if they're seeing good success out there. So until next time, I think that wraps this one up. And I'm going to end this podcast like I've ended every podcast before it. Until next time, keep the quest and questioning.
I never saw a dancer, a prancer. I never heard the sleigh bells ring. I never saw the red-nosed reindeer like the show on the TV screen. But it sure brought a lot of presents, so Santa Claus, he must have been.